Peace to you in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight we consider the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And here it is, Wednesday night. We're almost there to the weekend, huh? And there's two more working days, two more school days. Are you starting to get excited about it? And Friday rolls around, it's quitting time. And you've got some time to yourself. Then Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We always look forward to that. You need time to rest, reconnect with your family, visit with the kids, with the parents. Maybe you go out to dinner. Maybe you have some recreation on Saturday. Sleep in. You know what I like the best about Saturday? When I don't have to come to church. I don't have to shave. You know, pastor doesn't show up at church without shaving unless he's growing a beard. I did that once a few years ago, and boy, you know, it's a lot of conversation of why you're growing a beard. But Saturday mornings is nice. Or ladies, you know, you don't have to curl your hair or, you know, get all dolled up. Just kind of be natural. Well, God knows this, that we need time off. We need to rest. In fact, our Lord took time off, didn't he? God the Father in creation. Not that he needed to rest, but he rested on the seventh day after he created the world, the universe, and all exists. He rested. And if God rests, we're blessed to have that gift of God as well. But the point is, it's not enough just to rest. God says, let your rest be a holy rest. In other words, when you rest, take time to consider God's word, to connect with it. Now, it's true we should devote ourselves to God's word every day, isn't it? But how much more on the day that he gives us to rest, especially on the Sabbath? Now, I say the Sabbath, and I know right now you're wondering, well, what's the Sabbath, Pastor? I hope that when you were a young man or young woman growing up, or when you became a member of the Christian church, if you came to be a Christian through adult instruction, that the pastor there taught you about the Sabbath, that is, that it's the seventh day of the week in the Old Testament, that God instructed the people to rest on that day, to do no work, and to devote themselves to his word. But I hope he also showed you that in the life of Christ, Jesus taught us that he came to fulfill the law and the ceremonial law for us, so we are not bound to refrain from work on Saturday. But Jesus taught us to be open to and listening to God's word and devote ourselves to it at least one day of the week and to have time for God to come to us. And so it was natural for the early Christians to celebrate the Sabbath, not on Saturday, but on the weekly anniversary of Jesus' resurrection on Sunday. And also the resurrection of God creating the world on the first day, and naturally his recreating it through the preaching of his word, bringing life and forgiveness of sins. So we should keep it holy, whatever day of the week it is. Now, I know many of you, for Wednesdays, this is your Sabbath. You come every Wednesday night to church. And others, you're here because this is another blessed time during Lent, part of our Easter preparation. We come to hear the word of God not once a week, but twice a week. We are doubly blessed. And so we should keep it holy as well. Again, we see the first commandment coming through in the third commandment. That is, that there is no other God before the Lord or in his presence, and that we should not despise this God by saying to him, I do not care about your word. I do not care about the preaching of your word. I've had enough of that. We should not say either, well, the sermon's not for me because that guy up there is just so dull and boring. True as it may be. But that should not come into our minds. For God has chosen to speak to us through such a dull and boring means. It's not that we intend it to be dull and boring, but it's not entertainment. You should see it from this perspective. You know, this guy over here falls asleep at that point of the sermon every Sunday morning. This lady over here is rummaging through her purse. And this kid here is in and out and in and out during the sermon. And sometimes up here it looks like a three-ring circus. Sad but true. So it goes two ways. But the church service is not entertainment, but it is God's word coming to us. And the third commandment is about being devoted to God's word. First, we're devoted to it when we're there, when we show up, when God's word is coming to us. Next, that not only do we show up, but we listen to it. I know sometimes that's a struggle, but that's our task. It's important because God's word is so precious to us. It's more precious than gold or silver or all the stock in the world, because it brings something that none of these things can bring to us. It brings healing to the human soul. It puts us back into communion with the God who loves us, who created us, and who wants us desperately to come back to him. It is his voice, and it is the conveyance of his love to us. And so we take the word of God seriously. To be there to hear it, and to say it, to sing it, to praise it, to learn it by heart, and to use it. Now, as I said, we should do this every day, at home, at work, wherever we are. But how much more should we do it when we gather here in the house of God each week? You know, what you lose on Sunday in sleeping in or entertainment or getting work done that you could get done, God knows that. And don't you think that he will see to it that you more than make up for it on those other 6 days of the week? So we should all compel ourselves to come. And not only to come, but to be ready to listen to what God is going to say to us. I have to tell you, one of the saddest things about being a pastor, and there's many things that are just a joy, but one of the saddest things is to see year after year, you confirm a batch of kids. In this church, big batches of kids, you know, 20, 25 kids every year. But then you kind of look up in the grades ahead of them and you think, yeah, I remember there was 25 kids in that class, but 40% of them to 50% of them don't come to church anymore by the time they're seniors in high school. Well, that hurts. We invest a lot. You invest a lot in your kids. And to see that kind of a failure rate, it's disheartening. And look at it this way. If there were 10 airplanes lined up out on the runway at Willard and they were ready to take you and your family on a vacation anywhere in the world, all expenses paid, but they told you 40%, four out of 10 of those planes were going to crash somewhere, would you or let any of your family get on it? Would you get on it yourself, any one of those planes, not knowing which one? Certainly not. And what we're talking about here with our children is not just some kind of vacation and not just the end of their life on earth, but we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, their eternal life. And you say to me, oh, Pastor, just because my son or my grandson doesn't come to church anymore or my daughter, that doesn't mean they're not a Christian. I'll ask you this. You get alarmed if your kids don't eat? If your daughter won't eat for a week on end, would you be concerned about her? And yet, sometimes our children, sometimes we ourselves, stay away from the Lord's house, from the preaching of his word for months and years on end. Jesus said his word is bread for life. We should be concerned. So not only should we be there to hear it and encourage our families to come and to hear it, but also to receive it, to learn it, as if we were required to give an account back to God for what we learned. That's what it means to take it to heart. If you haven't learned anything here, then you haven't kept the day holy. See, God's word gives us a Sabbath rest. It gives us Christ. It brings him to us. Everywhere else in life, we're asked to do things, you know? You go to work, and you've got a pile of work you got to get done, a bunch of chores. You go to school, and there's all these assignments and tests and examinations and requirements. Everywhere, they ask us to do work, and every year it's more and more and more. Think back about 10, 15 years. Weren't you glad to get a computer? You thought, oh, my work's going to be so easy now. This thing's going to do it all. Did it get any easier? Well, no, they just gave you more work to do in a shorter amount of time. Even in the home, the chores and the good things, spending time with the kids, but it does take your time with your friends. Even our entertainment keeps us busy. And that's the thing about the Sabbath, see? It gives us rest. You see, Jesus, he is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. The Word of God presents standards of God for us. Requirements, if you will, the law of God. And when God gives us his Word, he doesn't want us to comply with just 80% of it, 90% of us, not even 99% of it. But he wants perfection. Our Lord says, be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. The commandments show this. This is no time for slacking in the Christian life. And that's kind of scary when you think of what God expects of us according to his law, perfection. Because who can offer it? But the Bible presents Jesus as our Sabbath rest. That is, as we hear his word and we believe it, we enter into that rest. In Christ, we are confronted with the rest of God. We stop trying to please God, and he declares our work to be completed for us in Jesus. And the beautiful thing is how that message gets to us and gets us into that rest is through the preaching of his word in the sacraments. This church is a blessed place in our lives. It's a holy place because it's the place where God promises to meet with us as long as we're hearing, preaching, and listening to the unadulterated word of God. Christ is here filling this place, and he's filling us as well. Isn't that a blessing? And so we're to be all about that, all about hearing, listening, taking his word to heart. There's nothing better we can do with our time than to be in this place, gathered in this way, around his word, listening to it, taking it to heart. And there is no greater blessing that we can have than that God gives us time off from our labors to rest in Christ, to know that we are perfect in God's eyes. The work is done. Salvation has been given to us in Christ. And to be here in conversation with him through prayer and preaching. In the name of Jesus, amen.